Life is about making yourself better. It doesn't matter what you do. You could be an athlete, an artist, a gamer. It doesn't matter. All of us want to be the best version of ourselves. That's what we are here for. We talk to students in leadership positions who have achieved great things, but who are just here working to get better. Because here, we discuss how to be better as people. Here, Swole is the Goal. Welcome to the Swole is the Goal podcast, season 2, episode 10. Are you too stressed to be productive, or not stressed enough? Stress can play a very important part in your productivity and your entire life. And if you're flooded by stress, it can be hard to get stuff done. And if you have zero stress, it can also be hard to get stuff done to get you out of bed, to motivate you to get stuff done. But a good amount of stress can actually be very beneficial to you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And here to talk about that with me, a guest who's been on the deep dive before, but now he's getting his whole full episode, Charlie Allender. Charlie, thanks for coming on.
No problem.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing great today.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So, stress. What does stress mean? I mean, when you first think of stress, it's usually a bad thing. I think a lot of people can say, I'm stressed out, or there's just so much stress in my life and I can't get anything done. What are your initial thoughts on stress?
I would definitely say that, like, the first thing of stress you think about is, like, oh, like it's a bad thing. Like, it definitely has a negative connotation to it. And I would definitely say that it can be more negative than positive, but, you know, bringing up that this article, there's definitely, like, a good side to stress.
For sure.
I never really thought about that until, like, actually right now.
Yeah. So, for those listening, if you're interested in this, we are using the Harvard Business Review article on stress management by Francesca Gino. So, it starts off by saying, if you're like me, you often ask yourself how you can get more work done in a day. How can you best boost your productivity? I always assumed that if I could just reduce any stress I was facing, my productivity would rise. But my intuition was, in fact, wrong. It's true that stress can be a health risk, and we're often encouraged to avoid it if we want to live happy, productive, and long lives. But research suggests that some stress can actually be beneficial to performance. So, yeah, that kind of starts off, like you were saying, people are stressed a lot more in today's society, I'd say, than in a long time, just because everything is so achievement-oriented, and people are just in the cycle of, I need to get stuff done, I need to get stuff done. And that creates a lot of unwanted stress. But, and we're also told that stress is bad for you, that it's a health risk. And while that's true, enough of it can be beneficial. So what role does stress play in your life, would you say?
Stress, I wouldn't say that I'm like a stressful person, but I definitely would say that, you know, sometimes the stress, you know, does come and plays a part of my life, you know, like schoolwork, you know, I mean, I got a lot going on with athletics and school and, you know, outside activities, trying to balance it all. And,
right.
You know, sometimes you got to worry about, hey, like, am I able to do this? And, you know, kind of get stressed out over, like, you know, I got this big project coming up. But
for sure.
I also got this football game I got to drive six hours away for. And, you know, will I be able to get it all done in a timely manner? So there's, like, little things like that. And there's also, like big things, you know, like family issues and, you know, like relationship issues and things that cannot have a bigger impact than just little things such as your schoolwork or how much or like how many tackles will I get in the next game.
For sure.
Because there's stress, there's the things that can stress you out, is they're all across the spectrum, big and little.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, it definitely gets to everyone sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. Stress is unavoidable. I mean, it's always going to find ways to get into your life. That's not really what the problem is. It's finding ways to, you know, manage that and how to go about that. And, you know, like you're saying, being a student athlete, there's a lot of things on your plate. And when there's a lot of things on your plate, that's when you can really find a lot of stress creeping into your life.
Definitely.
And it becomes harder to manage. But let's go back to the article here. It says, take a look at the picture below. Obviously, if you're listening, you can't see the picture. But it's like I'll show you. It's like a bell curve.
Okay.
And so this is the Yerkes-Dodson Law. Performance increases when physiological or mental stress but only up to a point. When the level of stress becomes too high, performance decreases. So,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you're at a low level of stress, you have a decreased level of attention and interest. Once it starts going up, you have an increasing attention and interest. Once it's at its peak, you have optimal arousal and optimal performance. And then once your stress gets too high, your performance is impaired because of strong anxiety.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, because, you know, sports is – it's so sometimes it's more mental than it is physical.
Right.
You know, because you can have all the tools. You can be the strongest guy out there. But, you know, if your mental game isn't right, you know, it can definitely mess you up. And
for
you can
sure.
And sometimes you think that, like, you're thinking, oh, I don't want to mess up. Or I don't want to mess up. And that gets in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're trying so hard to not mess up that you actually mess it up. And
right.
Yeah, so – and then there's also, like stress, you know, like worrying about playing well or, you know, like, hey, you know, there's this younger guy who is behind me who, you know, is really good. And, you know, I got to keep working because, you know, he might come
right,
take my
yeah.
spot. That's like an example of like a good stress, I think, is that. Yeah. Because, you know, if there's no stress at all, then like you can just like kind
of. Right. If you're guaranteed the starting spot and there's no one behind you that has any competition to start of you, then you're not going to be playing as good because you're more relaxed. There's nothing to worry about. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to be able to get into a headspace to where it's really important that you don't fail, but it's not so important to where it affects your playing. You know, you can't be playing so worried about what's going to happen that you start playing scared. And this doesn't just have to do with football. This has to do with any sport, anything in life, really. You have to have – that's why competition is so helpful in self-growth, is if you have people around you who are pushing you to be better, you're going to be better. I saw something about this before, actually. It was talking about, you know, optimal stress levels. And they were doing an experiment on these rats, right?
Okay.
And basically they had them in this little tub. And on one corner of the tub, there was this tunnel that led out to a bigger, like, cage or something. So when the rats were under zero stress at all, they would just stay in the tub. There'd be nothing that would get them to move out.
Yeah.
But when they started to play this small sound frequency, and the frequency would start to bother the rats. And if it was at really low rates, they wouldn't do anything. If it was at the moderate amount of stress to where it was creating the perfect amount of, you know, pain within them, that's when they would start to problem solve and get out. Yeah. When it became too much and it started hurting the rats too much, they were just caught in that pain. And they're like, oh my goodness, I'm stuck here. They're literally just suffering at that point. So think about that in your own life. Like, there are moments whenever you become too stressed, and that's going to prevent you from getting anything done.
Yep, for sure, yeah.
And if you're not under anything, if you're not under any sort of stress at all, then there's a good chance that you won't get anything done either.
There's definitely been, like, times where where there's, like, so much that I have to do that, like, I just end up doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, it's like you dread, like, starting it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, once it's all started and you – did a few things and, you know, like, it's just coasting, like it's all good, but just like wanting to start getting it done, that's the hardest part. It's just like starting the tasks.
A lot of times the build up to doing a task is worse than the actual task itself.
Yeah, for sure.
And I can apply that to something that I've started recently. I've been doing cold plunges every single day.
That's awesome.
And dude, they suck, but they're so good.
Where do you do that at?
My house, my pool, because it has to be
what's in the pool?
Yeah, it has to be below 57 degrees for you to get all the benefits from it. And it's getting pretty cold lately, so my pool's been getting like mid 40s, and that gets really cold. But I just like get in for like 3 minutes or something.
3 minutes?
Yeah, and
like full body, like
yeah,
like
full body all the way down to your neck.
Also?
Yeah, I put my head in the water and then I dunk my head and then stay neck depth. And the whole build up to it, I'm just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. This is gonna suck. But then once you're in there, like 15 seconds later, you're glad you're in there, and it's like you get used to it. So
I see all kinds of things, like talking about like cold showers and cold
plunges. Oh, it's great, dude. Like, I did like half my last podcast was about cold exposure and stuff
what's
like that.
Like, how does that like affect you? Like what's the benefits that you like reap from that?
So a lot of them takes more time than I've been doing it to see all the benefits, but I've definitely seen some of the benefits. So first of all, like, physically, it improves your circulation, which is really good because when you get in the cold, all your blood like shoots to your vital organs to make it to keep those warm. So your fingers will go numb, your toes will go numb because it's taking away from the non-essential stuff first, basically.
Yeah.
And that process of your blood moving around your body to heat things up really improves your circulation in the long run. It improves your heart health because it's able to slow down your heart rate to a really slow pulse. Like, I think when I was in there, I was measuring my heart rate. It got down to like low 40s, which is crazy. Like, when you're in cold, it gets really low because your body starts to go into like the survival mode. And then kind of mental and physical, it releases things called cold shock proteins, and your body goes into a state of ketosis, which means that it's basically in your fight or flight survival mode, and it releases epinephrine and norepinephrine, which is basically pure adrenaline that goes to your brain, which is really good for like mood boosting. It makes you feel great after you get out. Yeah, it feels feels amazing. Huge releases of dopamine, which is your body's reward chemical. But then also, it builds your tolerance to the cold. It makes you a lot mentally stronger if you're able to do that on a daily basis when no one wants to do that. Some of the other things it does, let me think. It builds up something called brown fat, which is the healthiest kind of fat your body can have, which actually makes room for muscle growth, speeds up recovery, speeds up metabolism, a lot of stuff. That's not even all of it. But
that's awesome.
Some of those benefits have been really good for me. Like, I notice if I'm like in a bad mood, I get in the cold tub, and when I get out, I just feel great.
Yeah.
So
I might need to look into that.
Yeah, you should start doing whatever you can. Ice baths are good too. Cold showers are a good way to start. That's what I did at first, because the first time I tried doing a cold plunge, I had never done like any cold exposure before, and I lasted like 30 seconds. I was just shivering the whole time.
30 seconds in the cold shower.
Yeah. And now it's like the cold shower doesn't get cold enough, you know?
Yeah. I guess you like all those videos. It's like waking up at 4 a.m. and getting in the cold shower.
Oh yeah,
like,
dude.
Like,
I tried.
It's always that 3 a.m. confidence, you know?
Yeah,
like,
for real.
When you're watching all those workout videos at like 3 in the morning and you want to just get out of bed and do like 60 push-ups.
For real.
Yeah, like, I always see those, and I guess I got to start trying it.
Yeah. Well, see, every time I do it, it's like after a workout or something, so I'm already like, I'm already hot. I want to start doing it like in the mornings, first thing when I wake up, but I'm telling you, I got to listen to more of my own podcast, because every morning I wake up and I'm just like, I don't want to do this. The bed's real comfortable right now.
For sure.
But I just got to slap myself in the face and get after it, because if I'm not motivated, that shouldn't change me to do it or not. So anyway, getting back to this article here. After looking at this graph, it says there's more. The shape of the curve varies based on the complexity and familiarity of the task. Different tasks require different levels of stress for optimal performance, research has found. For example, difficult or unfamiliar tasks require low levels of stress to facilitate concentration. By contrast, you may perform better tasks demanding stamina or persistence with higher levels of stress to induce and increase motivation. So that's really interesting too. The ideal stress varies based upon how familiar you are with something. So if you're learning something new, you don't necessarily want a lot of stress to that. And that kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, wait, no, it's saying that if you're learning a new, you don't want...
Yes, if you're not familiar with the task, let me make sure I'm reading this right. Difficult or unfamiliar tasks require lower levels of stress to facilitate concentration.
Yeah, because like if you learn something new, you're...
It's already stressful in itself to learn it. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. By contrast, you may perform tasks demanding stamina or persistence with high levels of stress to get optimal performance. That's kind of like when you see like these marathon runners, they always have like their pacers and stuff that help them keep their pace. Because if you don't have that, you don't have someone pushing you, it's a lot easier to fall off that path.
Yep.
Or it's like if you're running on a track or something, or on a football field, and you're trying to like, let's say you have the ball and you're running to score, and you hear someone's footsteps creeping up behind you, that'll get you going faster.
Yeah.
Opposed to if there's no one there, you're probably going to coast it a little bit more. So given this relationship between stress and performance, it's probably beneficial to understand how much stress you are currently experiencing at work. If you are curious, take the following test, which is adapted from the commonly used perceived stress scale. So we don't need to do that right now. But anyway, higher scores, as you might guess, correspond to higher levels of stress. Based on my use of this test in executive education classrooms and in research conducted with other groups, scores around 13 are considered average. Usually scores that range indicate that your attention and interest are at proper level according to the productive work. So this is kind of just telling you how to take a test on your stress levels. Here's a good one. average stress levels by age, gender, education, and income. So, looking at it here, just based off of men and women, women are slightly more stressed than men. Interesting. It's very close, though. The most stressed age group is 25 through 34-year-olds, so the youngest group that they did.
25 through 34?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I would might think that it would be more like the college ages.
Right. You know? Well, this is the youngest age group that they did. They didn't do anything below 25. So I'm sure right. Yeah. Like the youngest group of people are probably the most stressed, especially like Gen Zers, yeah. like us, who are just, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not super caught up in social media, but I'm definitely part of it. And people that get really caught up in that and make that their entire personality.
It's
I think that
rough.
Creates, yeah, that's, yeah. that creates so much like self-stress and self, like you become so self-conscious like, and yeah. anxious about yourself.
And like, I was like, none of that stuff is real either. Like,
yeah.
I mean like, as much as like you're involved in it and like it's not the real world. And,
for sure.
You know, once you like that's why I would guess that like, college age, because you know like mm-hmm. you're like 17, 18, you're just starting to like start your life. You know?
Yeah.
And like that's gotta be hard, like leaving your family behind and
oh, I 100%
agree. And then school on top of it.
Dude, I've definitely been feeling like the past
yeah,
couple
bet,
months.
Yeah, I mean,
just
you're about to start that. Man.
Yeah, it feels like such a shift, and you'll definitely feel it too next year. But it's weird. But yeah, I mean, like you're saying, it's not real. It's people are posting whatever they, like whatever looks perfect to them that they can show the whole world, and you might see that and think, "Oh, this person's living the best life possible. Like, why can't I have this? Why is this person better than me?" And it makes you get in this whole mindset of "I'm not good enough," when in reality, it's not real, man. You can't look at it
at
it like that. Yeah. So it goes from 25 to 34-year-olds are the most stressed, then. 35 to 44-year-olds are slightly less stressed, and it actually goes up to from 45 to 54-year-olds. The stress level goes up from that for some reason. Why do you think that is?
Just kind of
that midlife crisis era.
Maybe, you know, like your kids are getting older, and you know, yeah. like worrying about them. I mean,
that is true. That's probably around the median age of when kids leave their parents.
Yeah.
So that creates a whole shift for them too.
Like what percentage of like adults do you think like are like ready to like retire by like 55 and you know are going to be like it can't be too many.
Right. You know, we can look that up. What percent of adults retire by 55? Let's see. Most people. So the average age of retirement in the United States is 67 years old.
Yeah.
So when you're at 55 and you realize you still got 12 years left to go on average, then I think that created a lot of stress, especially if you've been working for so long. Like you're out of college for 30 years now, just on the grind.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. Now that's like the average American life is you finish college, then you work for 40
years.
More years.
That's actually wild. Yeah. I mean, my grandmother, I mean, she's like 58. She's been teaching for like 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, and she's not even, I mean, yeah, that's actually, dang.
Yeah. So I can't find an actual percentage here. Let's see if I can find an image that shows it. Here we go. So let's see. 25% of people, or excuse me, let me see if I can zoom this. Okay, so here we go. So, wow. Guess the percentage that 50 to 54-year-olds retire.
I would say like 8.
1% of Americans retire from 50 to 54.
That's actually probably, I mean, yeah, that's only like, you know, like real top-tier jobs, you know, professional athletes. Like.
And then, but a lot of them retire in the next 10 years or so because from 61 to 65, 51% of Americans retire.
Okay.
From 66 to 69, 12%. Then from 70 to 74, 10%. And then it just keeps going down from there.
Yeah.
It's actually more common for people to retire from 80 to 84 than it is from 75 to 79.
80 to 84?
Yeah, so you're more likely to retire in your 80s than you are in your late 70s. Jeez. Well, I guess if you're already working in your late 70s, there's a good chance you'll work until you're 84 then.
I just hope I can make it to 84, man. That's that's a long time.
Right.
Isn't that crazy to think about that we have like 60 more years in our life, man? Like,
yeah.
We've been living for like 17 years.
Well, 17, with the way 18. That technology is going now, we might have like 100 more years left. Who knows?
Well, they said that... But the first person to live to 125 has already been born.
Yeah, I heard someone say, like, first person to live to 150 has already
150?
Been born.
150?
Yeah.
Wow. Hopefully it's me, man.
Right. Okay, so here's another chart. It shows levels of stress based on where you are in your life.
Okay.
So high schoolers are the most stressed.
Yeah, high school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, high schoolers are the most stressed. Then it gradually goes down to college, then master's in college, and then graduated people.
Yeah. I'm sure also as your brain becomes more developed, it's able to cope with stress a lot more also.
Oh, yeah. Because I think that's why social media and young people is so destructive.
Yeah.
Is because you get in this, your brain is still developing and it's still being wired to this world. And if you're growing up with just with your phone and you're just swiping all day, that becomes a part of you. And that's really hard to break that cycle after it's become a part of you, because your brain is so used to getting that free dopamine, you know? Mm-hmm. It's that free reward just from looking at your phone and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and then thinking that's what the world is.
Yep.
And you don't know anything other than that.
Getting taught all these ideals and all these things. It's almost like parents aren't even like raising their children anymore. You know, like the phone is, if you're handing your like 10-year-old like an iPhone 13, you know, he's got free reign, man. Like
yeah, that's true.
You know, he can watch all the CNN, all the Fox News he wants.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, I definitely think. I mean, I was lucky enough to have like a pretty good dad, man. You know, he taught me everything I know. He showed me.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people. I mean, I think everyone has good parents, but like. I think definitely now in this world of like social media and everything, I think it's more like the kids are just like
I think what you how I would take that is most people have parents with good intentions for their kids, but a lot of times they're just so clueless to what the world has become that when they hand them that phone, they don't realize the damage that it can cause.
Yeah, I'm not saying you know like don't give your kid a phone until he's like 18 years old. Or anything, totally.
But
like I just don't like really think you should be you know like. In like the fifth grade with iPhone.
I think it needs to be more regulated
for sure,
because phones are very important for young kids, because now that's the whole way of communication.
That's how you
how you talk with your friends. If you don't have a phone, if you don't have any ability to talk with your friends, and there's no way to, you know, you oftentimes won't be friends with them anymore. Like, I had a friend who had Snapchat, and he got it taken away, and. Once he got that taken away, like he never hung out with us anymore because there was no way for him to communicate with us anymore, which is crazy. But it's wild. That's why I'm kind of thankful looking back. Like I wasn't allowed to have social media until I got to high school.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, that's kind of crazy. Like we all hop on Instagram or something. I'm like, I don't have it. And now I realize why, because I didn't want to get wired into that cycle at such a young age.
You know, also I realized, you know, like the like TikTok and like YouTube and everything, like those like short like attention, like it grabs your attention for like 35 seconds, you know, and then you're swiping to the next video.
Yeah.
And also like I feel like that also has like a negative effect on like your brain, because you know you get so used to just like something has your attention for like 1 minute.
Yeah.
So like you can't just sit and focus for like 15 minutes on anything, because you're so used to just getting that like, oh, I don't like this, I'm going to switch it in like a minute.
Dude, it is crazy. So I'm looking at this right now. In the year 2000, the light just went out. Here, you can flip on that light switch behind you if you want. It's all right. Okay, so when looking at this, the average human attention span in the year 2000 was 15 seconds. Today, the average human attention span is 8 seconds.
Wow.
And
7 second drop off.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, just because you know people are so caught up in scroll. Oh, this isn't grabbing my attention. Scroll. This isn't grabbing my attention. Like, do you ever get those videos on TikTok where it's like, I bet you won't make it through this entire video. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, because your attention span is not good enough because you're just so caught up in scrolling. And then like, I always see this and I end up watching the entire thing because I'm like, oh yeah, my competitive side just comes out.
Yeah.
So what do you think are ways to just break that cycle of being constantly wrapped up in the social world?
I mean, it's definitely a challenge to like completely remove yourself, and I don't know if that's a viable solution either. It's to completely extract yourself from the world of social media. I would definitely say that too much is 100% bad, but also not enough could also,
I agree,
like affect you too.
Yeah, there's an optimal range. Just like there's an optimal range of stress.
I think that you need to just find your balance, and it could be different for everybody. And, you know, there's outliers, people who make their living on that.
For sure.
Which, I mean, I don't even I don't even know, don't even get me started on that, man. I don't even know how that's possible. like the fact that you can make your living posting some pictures every now and then is,
yeah,
is wild to me.
But post a video of you dancing for 13 seconds and you make $10 million a year.
Yeah. Like, but I think just like finding the perfect balance, and also, you know, like one thing that I think is what's the word? Like good. What's like a different word for good? What the heck?
A different word for good? Great?
Yeah,
what are you saying?
I don't know. One thing that's like helped me is you know, putting your phone, like not like sleeping with your phone. Like, mm-hmm. like I charge my phone in the bathroom.
Right.
And I leave it there. And, you know, because I think a horrible way to start your day is to like wake up and just look at your phone.
I agree.
Like, I definitely don't think that that should be the way to start your day.
Right. Because so many people, the moment they wake up, they're on their phone. And right before they fall asleep, they're on their phone. Yep. It's, they start the day and end the day the same exact way. And that's when it starts to become a problem, I think. And for social media, it's really easy to get caught in a cycle. And I think a big part of it is realizing when it becomes a problem. Yeah. And it's different for everybody when it becomes a problem for you. But if you're going throughout your day and you realize that you can't go without it, mm-hmm. I think that's a good time to try to, you know, try to start to shy away from it. And obviously you can't just put the phone down and then sit there in your boredom thing. All right, I got to get through this. I got to get through this. Because then you're instantly just going to pick it back up and see, oh, look, someone posted. Time to go see what happened.
That's what hobbies need to come in.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I feel like hobbies are like kind of mm-hmm. like getting away from us. Like,
right.
No one is really, you know, I mean, like, no one's learning to play the guitar like anymore or anything.
Why don't you learn to play guitar if I can just watch someone play it on YouTube,
sure,
you know?
Yeah, I mean,
why don't I need to go hiking if I can watch videos of people hiking on Netflix?
That's why I feel like there's like now with everything, there's like so much like negative connotation with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And people are so caught up in what does Jerry think about me doing a puzzle? Like what would he think about that?
Yeah, that's true. And everyone's thinking about what other people's reactions are going to be to the things that they like to do, which is terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible, man. Because like, you can't live your life like mm-hmm. that. I think it's definitely important just to do what you want to do. And, you know, if they don't like it, then
screw them.
Yeah, screw them.
For real. Yeah. I mean, and also, it doesn't have to be a crazy hobby. Like, you can replace being on social media with writing or with reading or just finding something to do that's easy, that you don't have to go out, and you can just do it in the same scenario where you'd be watching social media. Like, try that for like a week and see how it changes you. If you're someone that's addicted to social media, just go on your phone and realize the next time I'm in a scrolling cycle, put the phone down and just start reading a book.
Yeah.
Or which something like that.
I found myself reading recently, which
really,
yeah, you know, it's really not anything that I ever thought that I would like to do. But
because people see reading and it's like the most boring thing you can possibly imagine.
Because like I haven't been playing games like recently, like at all, mm-hmm. and like I think it's probably helping me, honestly.
Oh, like, dude, reading is
like, I
so
haven't been
good
playing
for
it,
you.
Like very much like video games at all, and I've been starting reading this book. It's about Anthony Bourdain.
Okay.
Yeah, which like I don't know why I just picked it up and like I started reading. It's like it's so interesting, man. Like,
yeah.
Which. I'm definitely more like a nonfiction guy, you know. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really like reading like the fantasy stories.
Yeah, I'm not
like
huge on fiction either.
I mean, yeah, but like, it's just interesting, like the things, like seeing his experiences mm-hmm. and all that. Like, I really enjoy it. So
yeah,
I definitely think that I'll be reading some more books.
Right. So I've been reading some books on like human biomechanics.
Okay.
And like, there's this author I like. His name is Ross Edgley. And I don't know if I've told you about him before, but this dude is insane. He's like one of the fittest athletes to ever walk the face of the earth. He swam entirely around Great Britain, which was like, here, let's see how Ross Edgley swim. So he completed a swim that was, well, 1,792 miles.
Wow.
He did it in 157 days. He would swim for 6 hours straight and then sleep for 6 hours and then swim, sleep, swim, sleep for 157 days. He
That's
never
ridiculous.
Went to land. He was on a boat for the entire time, swimming in water that got as low as 34 degrees Fahrenheit.
Dude, that's gotta mess with you. Like,
oh,
somehow.
Dude, yeah, he couldn't walk after it. Like, he because he wasn't walking when he was doing that. For you know, he'd get on the boat and go straight to his bed, and yeah, wow. he's also done a marathon pulling a car. He's done a rope climb the height of Mount Everest. So he did a rope and he climbed for 24 hours. Just he kept doing this like rope over and over again until he did the height of Mount Everest. So yeah, this dude is pretty insane.
Yeah.
And yeah. he's written a couple books, and I've been reading some of his lately, and what reading does for you, well, what social media does for you, it establishes something called a neurological pathway to where your brain, I forget what part of your brain it is, but the part that releases dopamine, the reward center for your brain, it gets something, it gets a little reward, and it makes you think that you need that. And it wires it into your brain that this is something that I need. And once you're caught in that cycle, it's really hard to break unless you fill it with something else that's really beneficial that can also create a neurological pathway that's beneficial. And one of those is reading. Because if you read a lot, it rewires your brain to not be so focused on social media, but to be more focused on critical thinking and logic and stuff like that that goes into your brain that can actually be help you be productive and knowledgeable in something.
Yeah. I definitely think that reading will definitely make you like a lot more intelligent than scrolling on TikTok.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to this article here for a second.
Yeah, the stress.
I just lost it. So, yeah, we kind of got off the path of stress. But so to increase your control, one simple solution to lowering stress is to find more ways to increase your control over the work you do. People tend to believe that high-level positions brings a lot of stress, but research suggests the opposite. Leaders with higher levels of responsibility experience lower stress levels than those with less on their shoulders. This is because leaders have more control over their activities. Independent of where you sit on in the organization hierarchy, you may have ways to increase your sense of control, namely by focusing on aspects of your work where you can make choices. For example, choosing one project over another or simply choosing the order which you answer emails. So that's interesting. You would think that the higher people up would have, like, the most stress. Like, they always say being the president of the United States is the most stressful job ever because you have the most responsibility of anyone on earth.
Yeah. But I think that would, like, come down to, like, what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could look at it in the way that, my actions, my response, like, the things that I will do can affect so many people in negative ways if I mess it up.
Right.
And, like, but there's also people who are, like, I'm the top dog, you know, so I definitely think that it could cause more stress if you're actively like thinking about which of these two paths that I take, like which one will have the better effect and an outcome.
Yeah.
And then I can also see like the people who are the ones being told what to do, like that can be stressful also because, you know, you're scared to mess it up, you know, because like the boss is watching you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like this says, and this definitely goes for me too, people will stress about things that they don't have control over, which is definitely for me. Like if I'm in a situation to where I can control what's happening, I feel comfortable.
Yeah, for sure.
And that goes to like in football, when defense was on the field and I'm on the field, I'm not nervous. I am more focused. I'm more attentive of what's going on. I only get nervous when I'm off the field and it's out of my hands.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure,
when I have nothing to do and it's just up to the offense to go down and score, I get stressed because I have no control over that. And that's what this says. That's why people who are in higher positions have less stress because they have more control. Yeah. They're more hands-on. They can do whatever they want. Whereas the people lower on the hierarchy it's out of their control. They just have to do what they're told to do.
Yeah, I mean, that can make sense because I could, you know, like someone on the team, you know, who maybe like doesn't play as much could definitely be like less invested in what the outcome is, you know, like someone who never plays is probably like, oh, like I don't care. But you know, someone like you, you know, who, like did you come out once?
I never got benched. I got pulled out when we were like down by like 70 because
but like you never got taken out, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like someone like you, you know, who plays every snap, you know, we could definitely like your stress like during the game is probably like, oh man, like I don't want to lose this.
Yeah.
But, you know, but someone who is like, I mean, maybe
that's a good point. Someone who doesn't play isn't going to be highly invested in what's going on.
I mean, because definitely, I don't know if I didn't play, I wouldn't be like, oh man. Yeah,
he wouldn't be as bummed out by a loss.
Yeah. But if you're out there giving it your all and you know, you're putting your blood and sweat into the game and you know, and you don't come out on top, it could definitely like affect you more.
Well, that also comes to how you look at it this way. Like, are people not invested because they're not playing, or are they not playing because they're not invested? You know,
yeah,
like
that's true.
That could be it too. Like, the people who seem like they don't care about it are really the ones that aren't going to be playing because they don't care about it.
Yeah.
If you're someone who really cares about the game, then chances are you're going to do everything you can to start starting, you know?
Yeah. I feel like very rarely, like, if you put in the work, like, I don't think you'll never not see the results. I mean, because like some people, because there's definitely like, you know, there's the argument of like, what is like, is talent over hard work, you know? And I definitely think that there is two sides to that.
Yeah.
You know, because people are for sure 100% born with more talent, you know, it's genetics, you know, like, and then there is situations where the guy who is less talented can definitely put in way more work.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that there comes to a point where like you, especially in high school, I mean, because the competition is not like A1.
And, yeah.
I mean, like
99% of everyone you play is not going to the next level.
Yeah, no, definitely not. So I think that definitely in high school you can outwork and earn your way to a starting.
Once it gets to those higher levels, so, it's like NFL players. Yeah. They've all been the best athletes in their entire state since they were born.
That's what is wild to me is that 43 overall in Madden is the best. He'll wipe the floor with any single one of them.
That's true. When you look at those people, like the NFL players that never get any playing time at all.
Yeah, like never even see a field.
They've been the best players for their entire life, all the way through college, all the way to the NFL. And now you get to that level, and it's such a higher playing field, which is wild to me. And, I can't even imagine. Like
just the best of the best, man.
Right. Like, if you had one NFL player on your high school team,
that
team would be pretty dang stacked. So finally on stress, let's go to find more opportunities to be authentic. Evidence suggests that people often experience feelings of inauthenticity at work. This is they conform to the opinions of colleagues rather than voicing their own, and they go with others' flow rather than setting their own agenda. Yeah, I mean, people definitely try to fit in.
Everything. Yeah, for sure.
And I was listening to another podcast, the Jocko podcast, and he had this FBI interrogator on. And at one point, he was part of the suicide prevention hotline.
Okay.
And they were talking about, like, this talking about being inauthentic and not voicing your own opinion. And there was this research that they had done that showed in your brain when you're feeling something, let's say you're feeling depressed. If you're feeling depressed, that certain part of your brain will light up on an MRI scan, right? And if you are able to say out loud and acknowledge, I am depressed, and be honest with yourself about it, 100% of the time, the level of your feeling of depression would go down.
Yeah, because you're not trying to like run away from it or try to like,
Feelings build up when you don't allow them to be expressed.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's same with stress too. If you're feeling really stressed, you need to be able to acknowledge that and to move past it. If you're bottling it up, it's only going to get worse. And that can be applied to so many things. It's not trying to fit in with everybody who seems happy and just act like you're happy, because that'll actually increase the buildup of whatever it is going through your mind. So use rituals. Basketball superstar Michael Jordan wore his North Carolina shorts underneath his Chicago Bulls shorts at every game. Curtis Martin of the New York Jets read Psalm 91 before every game, and Wade Boggs, as third baseman for the Boston Red Sox, ate chicken before each game and took batting practice at exactly 5:17 p.m. Fielded exactly 117 ground balls and ran sprints at precisely 7:17 p.m.
You said 117?
Yeah.
Oh, it was just all about 17.
That's crazy. Yeah. These rituals may sound strange, but they can actually improve performance.
Really?
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I've heard.
I don't know if I'd agree with that, man. Yeah, like, all like the rituals and everything.
Yeah, some of them are definitely just in your head. But I mean, if they're in their head, if you're in your head, then maybe that could help you. Yeah, you know.
You know, like the placebo. You know.
Yeah, placebo. Thing. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, like
if you don't have on your lucky socks, you're not gonna score a touchdown or something.
I saw this one thing that I thought was absolutely hilarious. It was these people who were given shot glasses, and they were told it was the most potent form of alcohol ever made. And I said, we want you to just have like five of these shots and see if you can get through it, right?
Yeah.
And they start taking the shots, and they're like, oh my God. They're like, what on earth? And it was something that tasted like really strong or whatever, but they got through the five shots, and they're acting like they're completely just hammered.
Yeah.
There was zero alcohol in the shots.
Yeah.
So just being told something like that can have an actual effect on you. Or like people with headaches are given this certain painkiller, and they're told that this will make it go away, and it's just placebo effect. And there's nothing in it. Not saying that all painkillers are placebo, but like in this experiment, it was a little just pill that had nothing.
I've definitely
in
seen
it.
Stuff like that before, where like they try to like cure like an illness just with sugar pills or something like that.
Yeah, and it works. And it works. That's the craziest thing. Another one I saw was these two people, or these people were fed. They were fed a protein shake and a milkshake, right? And the people who drank the milkshake, like put on their body stored more fat. They released the they released more dopamine to their brain. It felt like they had just eaten something unhealthy. Their body processed more sugar, and then they fed people the protein shake, and you know it didn't release as much fat. It helped build more muscle, and they were told one was a protein, one was a milkshake, and they were the exact same shake, and it had an actual different response in your body. Which is crazy. Your brain can actually do different things to the same exact thing it takes in. So,
wow, man.
I forget what the lesson was from that. It's like you can be surrounded by things that seem different, but the way your brain – I don't know how it went. I don't know. But with this ritual stuff, I saw what I was saying was like George Kittle – before every game, he headbutts a wall and throws up into like the third stall in the.
I saw something like that. Like, I think I saw that's. I don't know, man.
What were you saying? You don't know about that?
No. I think I've never seen that somewhere, but I definitely don't do anything like that. Do you?
No,
like,
I don't really have like a pregame ritual, I'd say, but it's like what people will do is they'll play. This can actually you can play a certain song right before you go to bed and then turn it off and go to bed right after that. And if you do that for like a month, if you hear that song out in public, you'll feel like extremely tired out of nowhere.
What?
It's like you can program your brain to do all this stuff.
That's crazy.
So how can we apply that to stress management? It's like, every time you're stressed, find one thing to do that makes you feel happy. Whether it be just taking a minute to like breathe and focus on absolutely nothing, or being alone for a minute, or reading something, or writing down a note, like a little thing to yourself saying like you got this. And then anytime you feel stressed, you read that, it can actually lower your stress levels. So finding stuff like that.
Yeah, the brain is a powerful thing, man.
Dude, the brain is the most misunderstood thing on earth. There's so much that we don't know about it. It's crazy. Like your brain is more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Like it's crazy how the computing power of the human brain is able to outsmart like supercomputers. Like the amount of knowledge your brain takes in per day is like, I think they like translate it to computer terms. It's like 2 terabytes of information that your brain can take in a day. And that's as much as a computer can take in its lifetime. You know?
I think someone told me that, that in your dreams, your brain can't create new faces. So like,
So every face you've ever seen in your dream is someone
that
you've seen.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me. Also,
that's real crazy because I've definitely seen people that I don't think I've seen in person in my dreams, but like just passing by them, your brain can recognize that.
Yeah, which that's that like the deja vu, man. Where like,
Let's look up brain memory in gigabytes. I want to see this because I'm very interested. Wow. So, the human brain can remember approximately. So, wait, my phone has 256 gigabytes of storage, whatever. Human brain can have 2.5 million gigabytes of storage.
That's crazy.
So, if you're ever wondering if your brain is powerful, it is.
For sure.
And
it's got to store like your entire life. Like,
Everything that ever happened. And things that you can't even remember, like remember, it's still in your brain, and it's still, even though you can't bring it to thoughts, it's still in there somewhere. And
So like, how does that work when there's something that you like remember vividly forever? Like how does like do you make that choice? Like,
I think core memories, like things that were really that you decided that this is going to be really memorable. Like, let's say, my last football game, I'll probably remember that forever. Yeah. Just because I always tell myself, I'm never going to forget this.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be something I'm remember for the rest of my life.
So, like, if you wake up and you make a major, like, I'm never going to forget that this
exactly.
Video.
Like,
so, like, can that...
Well, that's actually a type of diagnosed insanity. What some psychopaths, like, their problem is they don't forget anything. Yeah. Like, everything they've ever done is still vividly in their brain. Like, do you remember where exactly you were... the position that you were sitting in this morning at 9:54 a.m.
No.
But when you're like that, That's crazy. But if, like, right now I see it's 117, I know I'm sitting exactly like this. Mm. I'm going to remember that for a long time now, yeah. You know? It's like, it's conscious in that aspect. But, yeah, stress. Stress is, how you manage stress is the entire, basically, gist of this episode. I was listening to something, or I saw something on Instagram. I forget who was saying it. But they did a study of people who were equally stressed. One with, so like the same amounts of cortisol in their blood, which is the stress hormone that makes you feel stressed, starts to elevate your heart rate. And people who said, oh, I'm so stressed, like I can't handle this, are the ones that would end up getting anxiety and end up getting depressed from it. But the people who are saying, I'm stressed, but I'm going to use the stress to focus and give my attention to a task, those people would actually benefit from the stress. So it all comes down to how you look at it. And I think if you're going through some sort of mental struggle, you can view it as two ways. You can view it as you're being broken, or you can view it as you're being fixed. Because if you're going through something that hurts in your mind, that means that your mind is working to build it back up. It's the same with any workout. If you're squatting and it really hurts your legs, that doesn't mean that you're getting weaker. It means that you're tearing those fibers that are going to build up even stronger next time.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that's all I really have to say for this. What do you think, Charlie?
Yeah, man, I think that's about it.
Any closing thoughts about stress?
Just find a way to manage it, man.
Find a way. So with that being said, actually, what's a way that you are able to manage your stress?
Stress management. I mean, honestly, dude, just like going to sleep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What if it's in the middle of the day?
It's like in the middle of the day. So like that's where I feel like I'm very blessed to, you know, like I got a pretty strong, like, mindset, I feel like, and I don't let a lot of things get to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't know if that's a good thing to be, like,
I think it's good and bad.
Yeah,
depending
it can
on
be
the
good and
situation.
Bad depending on the situation, but, you know, like, I don't really think that, like, that anything, I don't think I'm, like, ever, like, too stressed out. Mm-hmm. And I'm also very lucky to have a life where I don't find myself in too many situations to be stressed out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely think that, I just, you know, just keep on fighting and, you know, just make it through the day. And
Yeah,
so, like, you know, all this, like, stress relievers and, like, stress balls and all that. I don't do any of that stuff.
Right, yeah.
Like, I don't.
Yeah, you don't need those for your outlet. And I definitely think that sports was my outlet. And since that's been over, my stress level has definitely increased. And for a lot of people who don't have sports to be an outlet, what's helped me is just finding other ways to be an outlet for you, whether it be reading or writing or working out, because I'm working out now just without necessarily going towards a sport. That's definitely an outlet. Finding the best way to make the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, being physically healthy has 100% helped me be more mentally healthy.
For sure.
And that's what is huge. Like, I started doing saunas all the time. I started doing, like I said, the cold plunges.
Yeah, the sauna is great.
Oh, it's amazing.
But I feel like that, like, messed with my strength.
Really?
And I don't – yeah, because
– well – it depends on, if you aren't getting, saunas are, it's important to be really, really hydrated going into it and having a lot of protein after it, because if you don't, then it'll start to burn off muscle.
Because like it happened it was like a month ago maybe, but I was at the sauna in LA Fitness.
Yeah.
And then like, I went there for like a week every day mm-hmm. I was in there. And then like one day I was in the weight room and dude, I had like 165 on the bar, like nothing like that. And like, I was trying to rep it out and my body just like gave in.
Yeah.
I just like couldn't.
Well, did you sauna for every day?
Dude, yeah.
You're only supposed to sauna for like 3 times a week.
Really?
So maybe
like,
that's.
It was probably that. And I was like, dude, maybe I should stop going to the sauna.
Yeah.
And I haven't been since, but you know, maybe I'll get the cold plunge in instead of the sauna.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, just find ways to be healthy. Because that's what I did after football season. I just like got into a slump. I'm like, well, I don't have to play sports anymore, so what's the point even getting to the gym all the time to eat whatever I want? Yeah, for real.
Just,
And I thought that was going to make me happy because, like, I can finally relax. Mm. But comfort is not good in the long run.
No, definitely
like,
not.
It's good in the short term to, you know, skip a workout. Like, oh, I don't have to feel this pain. But what I've always said, short-term pain leads to long-term gratification, where short-term gratification leads to long-term pain.
Yeah.
So find ways to get uncomfortable in the short term that are going to help you in the long term. Be healthy. Find ways to get active, move, get sun, get sleep, get enough water, get good food, expose yourself to cold, do some breathing exercises. Like I've started this new breathing exercise called Wim Hof, And
I've heard of that before.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's like every, you do like 30 breaths, like, and after like 15, you're going to pass out. It's crazy.
Yep, yep.
But like that gets you going.
Yep.
And yeah, that's how I manage it. Just keep yourself occupied. Do stuff that's going to keep you going. And when you don't have anything to occupy your mind with, find something new.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm definitely at the point now where the gym is like a, it's like part of me, you know, like,
yeah.
Like if I don't do it, I feel like weird.
Yeah.
And I also recently just started getting into like all the eating aspect of it. Like mm-hmm. I'm like fully like immersed into that.
That's when you're going to start to see the biggest results.
With all like the counting calories and chicken, like,
dude, yes.
Chicken overload. Dude, like, I've ate, like, 15 pounds of chicken in the last 2 weeks, I swear.
That's awesome.
It's getting crazy.
Yeah, you'll start to see the biggest results after eating and sleeping, right? Like,
sleep. I never realized it, you know? Like,
sleep is, like, if sleep wasn't required, it would be illegal because it's literally the most powerful steroid you can give your body.
Because, like, I used to think it was, like, a good thing to be able to, like, oh, like, I stayed up till 3 a.m.
Yeah. Well, everyone thinks that's like I was up, you know.
But it makes a huge difference in your day versus when I go to sleep at 10 o'clock or when I go to sleep at, say, even, like, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because, sometimes you find yourself, you know, just, like, staying up a little bit too late. I mean,
yeah.
You know, because you got that big project to do or mm-hmm. you watched a couple episodes of your favorite TV show.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, it definitely, like your strength, your mental, like, mm-hmm. like, everything. Like, sleep is definitely the most important thing.
It really is, dude. Yeah. Well, that's pretty much it. Find those ways. Make habits. And don't get into the habit. Don't find social media as your escape. If you're feeling stressed, social media is not going to make that better. Don't go scrolling through TikTok to relieve your stress. Get off of TikTok to relieve your stress. Go on a walk. Get some sun. Read a book. Write something down. Do something productive that's going to make you better in some way, shape, or form. And that is the best way to conquer stress, to conquer anxiety, to conquer depression, to conquer anything you're going through, is to find ways to better yourself physically, and it will transfer mentally. And that's all I have. Thank you for listening to the Swole's Goal podcast. We have more episodes coming out weekly every Wednesday. If you are interested in coming on this podcast or have any questions for us, reach out to our Instagram at TheGoalIsSwole. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. And if you are interested in merchandise, reach out to SwoleIsTheGoal, and we will get you covered. Please listen to this. Please, if you listen on Spotify, go ahead and subscribe, or on YouTube, or on Amazon, or on Podbean. We're on all of those. And we'll be back next week. Charlie, thank you very much for coming on, man.
No problem. Thank you.
Signing off. Swole is the goal. Size is the prize. Out.
This is LNE Radio. Podcasts produced, performed, and edited by the students of LNE Studios at Leander High School. LNE Radio. It's what the kids are talking about.